I'm around for a good outlet pass.
Yeah.
Leave me open near the free throw line.
How hard was that for you to come up with those references?
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
But the kid did it, you guys. And he did it wearing perfect denim.
Perfect denim. Let's take a quick moment and talk about men's socks. Gucci, Gucci, Louis, Louis, Fendi, Fendi, Prada. The basic bitches wear that shit so I don't even bother. I put that on my partner. I put that on my family. Oakland City represent, address me as your majesty. Yeah, you can kiss the ring, but you can never touch the crown. I smoke a million Swisher Blunts and I ain't never coming down. Bitch, you ain't no Barbie. I see you work at Arby's. Number two, supersize. Hurry up, I'm starving. Gnarly, radical.
Hello, mate. It's RHFA's Skeptic Tank. I'm coming live from Sydney, Australia. Australia. Hello, you guys. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Guess who's on today's episode? Guess. My friends Kevin Christie and Nick Youssef, who are starting their own podcast very soon. Actually, it's out right now. And they're going to talk about fashion. In honor of Fashion Week, everybody, I've decided to have Kevin and Nick on to talk about current men's fashions. As always, we meander nicely, but we discuss some cool fashion tips. These two guys have always been my go-to dudes in order to ask like what I'm allowed to do or not. Occasionally I'll ask Chris D'Elia too and Moshe Kasher, but generally it's Nick Youssef and Kevin Christie. You know, what's allowed, what's not allowed. I kind of go to look at what they're wearing, jump off that. Cardigans I probably got from Kevin. Yeah, lots of stuff. They just dress well. They're just dudes who dress well, and they have theory behind it. I'm recording this live from Sydney, Australia, where I just did a fun week at the Comedy Store. Man, Sydney's kind of cool, everybody. It's the first time I've been back since I shit myself on that bridge. If you don't know what I'm talking about, get my album. Yeah, I did a lot of fun stuff. I went to Bondi Beach. I took a bus there, called it Bondi Beach. The lady bus driver, they're so forward-thinking there, corrected me. I felt like an asshole. Still went to Bondi Beach, had a great time. It's not a nudie beach, and I don't know if it's topless or not, but there are occasional chicks who are topless. I wonder what it is about boobs. I don't want to say in the typical, like, dude bro way, but, man, they just get, like, if I'm with a guy and I see a girl who has her shirt off, lying on her back or something, or just sitting up, I saw both of those, I'm like, hey, dude, look over there, look. It's almost as if, I don't know, I saw, like, a car wreck or something. Like, dude, look over there. It's not, they're not even turned on by it. It's not even a sexual thing. You see casual boobs like that at the beach. Doesn't give you a boner or anything, but man, there's something about it. You feel like you won. You've seen something you shouldn't or something. Like a bank robbery. Dude, look. That guy's about to take out a machine gun. Yeah, Sydney is a lot of fun. It was cool. I went to this, hung out with Shang Wang for a little while. We've never really hung out. He was doing the Comedy Store too. We went and got food a bunch. We went to the botanical gardens. Oh, what beautiful botanical gardens, everybody. How they keep it so clean. It's beautiful. And no one's around. How do they do that? Answer, no black people. Side answer, also possible, accepted. Very few homeless. It's the only way. You could never do something like that in New York City. You could never do something like that in LA. You would have to charge a cover. You couldn't have such a beautiful gardens and not expect chuds to go in there left and right. And ruin it. So here, let me tell you a quick story, then we'll start the episode. By the way, I have some dates coming up. But so my storyteller show, my next one, this is not happening. I probably told you I've recorded the next series of them. They'll be out in November. But we're going to have for the New York Comedy Festival a show at Santo's Party House. But now Comedy Central wants to invite, like, the executives, so they want to move it because the executives aren't available, and they want to move it to Webster Hall, the studio at Webster Hall, and they keep going back and forth whether or not they can move it, and it's getting, like, later and later. And I was just like in a bad mood constantly and talking to the guys who produced the show with me. And just like, I'm feeling like it's like, the shit's not going right. I'm being angry. And then I had one of those moments where you get to step back from what you're doing. See yourself from the outside. I should take some mushrooms again. But, I was like, I can't get this thing done. And then I stepped back and I realized, what's the matter, Ari? What's the matter? This show you get to put on the internet, this really cool show, you can't deal with it all right now because you're out at too many beaches. I have to go to Bondi and I have to go to Cabo, the Cabo Festival, and go to beaches there. And that's why I can't get my shit done because I'm too busy. That's how I felt. I'm too busy with this. I'm gone. I'm too busy. What am I too busy? On amazing vacations. I went to go see Lorde, but man, I kept missing her set. She plays at 9:30 to 10:30. She was playing in Sydney. She plays from 9:30 to 10:30. Anyway, so here's the deal, you guys, with the Storyteller Show in New York. I think we're moving it from November 8th, November 12th to November 12th. I'm not sure. It might still be November 8th, but we're going to do it one of those days. Big J's in, and we're going to get more people. Hopefully Nord. Well, I don't know. Hopefully. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask a lot of people. But it'll be one of those two places. It'll be cool either way. So I'll give you an update next week, or I'll let you know on Twitter as soon as I get it finalized. I guess my point is my life is fine, regardless. I'm trying to be more outgoing, too. I had this... So I was walking back in Australia, in Sydney, late night from... Where was I? Somewhere late night. And I was walking around... Oh, it's Sunday. And I told myself, you know, I should put myself to go out. I figured I should go to one of the cool neighborhoods where the hipsters are in Sydney. So I didn't. I ended up going to an Indian restaurant by myself. I was going to go to a movie with some comics. Didn't happen, but went to an Indian restaurant by myself. Was going to walk back. And then I was just looking at people out on Sunday night. Usually the hipper people are out on Sundays. I saw these two chicks I was looking at. A lot of hot chicks in Sydney. A lot of hot tail. So I saw them going to this hotel bar. There's a lot of hotel bars there. I looked and I wanted to go in, but I thought, nah, they saw me leering at them, and if I go in, they're just going to think I followed them. So I waited there on the corner for like 3-4 minutes and then decided it's better to leave. Why don't I just fucking go in? It looked like a cool bar. Why? Partially because there's two cool chicks were there. I wasn't going to hit on them. I would have just sat in the corner by myself. I had a glass of wine. I would have hit on them. I would have at least leered at them. I would have at least ogled them and kept looking, hoping something would happen, even though nothing would. I don't know how to talk to chicks. Who picks up girls? All I heard about is how easy it is to get laid in Sydney. But how do you go up to a chick and just talk to them? I'm just lost. I don't know how to do any of that. I don't know how to do any of that. So I haven't masturbated or had sex in over a week. Doesn't seem like a long time, but it is for me. Or masturbated between the two of them. That's a lot. Anyway, you guys, let's do this. Let's do the episode. How about that? How about we just get to it? I'll be back in New York. I'm in Sydney this week at the Comics Lounge tonight, or Tuesday through. It's Tuesday here already. Tuesday through Sunday. Come out. The response will be good. The fucking show in Sydney was amazing. It was really, really cool. Saw some really funny other Sydney comics, too. Some really cool ones. Greg Fleet did a podcast with Will Anderson. Fucking cool time, you guys. What a beautiful... Got a tan. Got rid of my farmer's tan for the first time. Sitting out on the beach. Yeah, it was nice and relaxing. So, let's get started. Nick Youssef and Kevin Christie are joining me for Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 137. Fuck, I forgot what I'm supposed to call it. Fashion something? Dress to impress? Dress to impress. That sounds good. Dress to impress? Well, while I'm thinking, let's do some quick dates. I got Austin, Texas, November 13th through the 16th in Cap City. Then St. Louis with Joey Diaz, November 21st. Thursday, and then I think we might do right after that Atlanta the Friday and Saturday at the Punchline, which should be cool. I've never headlined there. I actually headlined there once. They gave me a third show on Saturday night after Rogan, and everyone who knew me knew they could go see me for 30 minutes with Rogan. So like three people showed up. But this should be better. That was 5 years ago. Then what else do I got? Then I got at the end of November, Boston, Thanksgiving weekend at this place called Laughs Boston. It's new. And then the first week of December, I'm at the Montreux Comedy Festival in Switzerland. And I think that's it for the year. I think that's it. Hey, does anybody know a good venue in Washington, D.C., in a cool part of town? I'm looking to do a gig there the day after Valentine's Day. My nephew's bar mitzvah is the day after that. So either the Saturday or the Sunday, because it's President's Day weekend. I want to do a show, but I need a theater to do it in. So if anybody knows, help me out. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tech, episode 137. Okay. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tech, episode 137. Care What You Wear with Kevin Christie and Nick Useless. Enjoy it.
He thinks he is a flower to be looked at. And when he pulls his filly nylon pants, his right up tight, he feels a... Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes, he is.
His world is built round discotheques and parties. In matters of the club, he is as fickle as can be, cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
And now I'm starting again. Look at my...
So we've started.
Fat boy Kevin, he finished his fat boy peanut butter sandwich. It doesn't even... Just butter and peanut butter. What'd you add before the peanut butter?
The American
I
way.
Saw... What?
Margarine.
Margarine and then peanut butter.
Oh, margarine?
Smart balance.
But why do you do both?
No, olive oil.
No, not olive oil. Why do you do both?
Peanut butter and
it's
butter.
That's already
good.
A spread. It's spread. It's over it.
You can do spread and spread.
And honey on top. It's going to be a happy new year.
You should slice up bananas, too.
Oh, yeah.
Throw those on there.
Yeah.
Put some
nanners
on this.
Some M&Ms.
Where's
the I wonder what you say can go on to that.
You're like a stoner without the pot.
Here, give him that microphone and take this one.
Oh, okay.
You guys are idiots.
Okay.
That one goes a lot farther. You can go back to where you were.
Okay. I appreciate that.
We're off to a hardcore start, man.
It's all right.
We'll fix this in post.
No, there's no post.
Oh,
there's
your
no
mom post. Is in post, so there's no fixing.
What are you fidgeting for?
I'm moving.
Oh, by the way, how bad did Willie get when you were fucking with him about the not putting employees up?
Oh, he got... Well, he was, like, really drunk.
Oh, that's what it is. I knew he was on something.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, it could have been a combination of things, but he seemed at least drunk, and he was holding a... like glass of whiskey, so I just assumed.
Yeah, that always, whenever I saw PJ, I was like, why is he being so active today? And I looked down and see him double fisting beers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I
and
see.
I'm like,
now.
Oh, I'm walking away from this now.
Yeah.
But he got really upset because he was like, I'm trying my hardest, but you know what? It's my show and I want to put on a good one. I'm like, dude, totally put on a good show, but also put on all the employees.
Put the employees on. He puts the open micers on.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're saying the open mic, they're not good enough to go up the employees, but the open micers are?
Yeah.
But if you work for a minimum of 8 hours and just to get 3 minutes?
You know what pisses me off? I don't understand the context of this story whatsoever or any of the facts.
I'm mad about that, too.
What's even? I don't... Ugh.
You were eating your multi-butter sandwiches.
Gluten-free toast.
Here's the thing. The Comedy Store hires employees who are comedians.
Right.
And the idea is you work there for slave wages.
Yep.
And you do really shitty jobs like taking tickets, seating people, parking comedians' cars, etc.
Huh,
never.
And
you got around the system.
The point of you working there is to get stage time. It's the only reason you agree.
Right.
No one aspires to park cars for a living.
$6 an hour, $25 bucks a night for 7 hours.
Right.
Yipes.
And
it's actually $42 if it's $6 an hour.
No, that's a different pay scale. There's $6 an hour during the phones or $25 for the night.
Oh, dear God.
Hours. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
And that was a step up. You had to get promoted to door guy.
Yeah.
To be able to get the 25 over 7.
Wow.
And the idea is you get to go on Sundays and Mondays, now just Mondays.
Yeah. Well, it started when I was starting just Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Sundays, Mondays when they took Belinda's show away. Then I went to Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's when I was hosting.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stage time.
Oh, yeah. And then it was Sunday, Monday for a long time. That's when I was hosting.
Yeah.
And then you would get up the employees. There'd be friends and family, so you could invite
your own buddies to come down and go up, or like friends of the paid regulars who are like, hey, can you throw on so and so? You're like, yeah, gladly, after I get on all the employees.
Yeah,
you're the priority. And
yeah, they're the priority.
A lot of hosts, like, they'll come up with excuses like, well, I want to make it a good show and there's a lot of employees that
are
funny.
No, a lot of hosts won't do that. A lot of hosts just get all the employees on and they mock them openly or do
whatever. When you wouldn't put me on, it was because you needed to get through all the employees.
Because I needed to get through all the employees?
Yeah, you didn't get through all the employees. You would put me on if you had time and you had gotten through all the employees.
Oh, right. And I wouldn't put you on. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, you'd be like, we ran out of time.
Yeah.
But the employees were always your priority.
Yeah.
But there's hosts now make excuses. Like, the list is very long. I'm like, well, not all the employees show up every week.
Yeah, they always use excuses. Or they say, like, well, guys like Brenton get spots upstairs, too, on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm like,
yeah, good for him.
Is he one of the guys you didn't get up? Right. No. He's one of the guys you did get up? Then that's not...
Yeah.
Why don't you point to the guys did they get spots upstairs? I'm like, no. I'm like, then that's the only spot of the week.
And it's crazy that they say things like, well, they're not good enough yet.
Hey,
it's
Willie Hunter.
Benji mentioned it, too. He's like, some of them are bad. I'm like... The only way to get good is by going up more.
Yeah. They were bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you go, you want to put on a good show? It's like, we'll host better.
Yeah.
Do a better job in between comics.
Yeah.
He started trying to blame it on Big J. He was like, Big J went long. I was like, whatever. At 10:49, he did a full like 12 or 13.
By the time all the employees should have been on.
Yeah.
And they go, well, a lot like the talent coordinator, Tommy, will force me to put people on or say, try and get this guy on. I'm like, I used to have that too. And you know what I tell those people?
Can't do it.
I'll get you on if I can.
Yeah.
Hang out if you want.
I remember that guy, Craig X.
Yeah.
He went over my head once and I told him, I'm sorry, I got to get the employees on. And then Dean's like, man, can you put this guy on? I was like, what? I know exactly what happened. He didn't take my no for an answer.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I put him on.
Who was Craig X?
He wrote for like Weeds one season. And then everybody, because the Comedy Store had nobody succeeding.
Oh,
everybody's like, well, come on, man. He wrote for Weeds for a season.
Right, yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
I also don't get why when you have a writing credit, all of a sudden you're getting better spots doing live comedy. Yeah. How are you all of a sudden better as a comedian because you're writing on a TV show?
Magic beans.
Where can I get these beans?
The WGA.
Yeah,
that never added up to me.
Yeah, you never had to do the employee spot, huh, Kevin?
Nope. I never had to be an employee. I got the employee spots.
Right. They were good spots. I mean,
you gave them to me. If anyone, you should be mad at it yourself.
No, I was allowed to.
You set the precedent for everyone else.
But I told everybody else no.
It's because I left you alone.
I used to tell Bobby Lee when he would want to go on like late. And he also got there early, too. If Bobby Lee would get there late, he'd be like, I'm sure I've said this before. But he'd be like, they put me on. I was like, okay, just pick two of these employees that won't go on and please tell them. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, all right, well, then, when you do.
I don't know why you put me on all the time. You just did.
You had extra time. You seemed cool.
Yeah.
Back when I was doing the open mic, it was Joey Diaz and Bobby were hosting a lot.
They were the two.
They wouldn't even put up all the open micers sometimes.
Yeah.
You get to like number 12 out of 20, and they were just like, sorry, guys. And they just start putting on their friends.
Yeah.
And then they put an end to that fast.
They did.
They were like, you got to get up all the open mics.
I called Bobby because he didn't get all the employees on. I was like, you better fucking put me on next week.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. And he goes, I'll get everybody on. I'm like, I don't care about everybody. Get me on next week.
Yeah.
That's my spot.
Yeah, I made sure to always get on. I'm like, I don't care if you put me on first after the open micers. I don't give a fuck as long as I get on.
Can't remember how to do shit. You had it so easy.
I had it definitely easier. Easy.
Asian brother. None of us had that. Nick was the closest with his hair and with animal arrows.
Bobby had that. He had an Asian brother.
Yeah, Bobby has an Asian brother.
Right. Yeah.
He has a whole Asian family.
But he had an advantage.
He had it pretty easy, too, though. We were all complaining about money once upstairs in the belly room, green room.
Right.
And everyone's like, learn all these different people. And Bobby's like, yeah, I know. It sucks. I made like 65 grand last year. It's just tough. And we're like, oh, eat our assholes. What are you talking about?
Are you crazy?
Yeah, Nick and Dean Del Rey were complaining about money when we taped a podcast with me the other day, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I've just been consistently on television.
For like a while now.
Just for, I don't know.
You wouldn't let it go.
About 12 years now. I've just not had a lot of trouble. To be honest with you,
and then your recommendation was be on television.
The advice I gave people was to be on television.
You should do that.
You should just be on
really
TV.
Really bad,
a lot more.
Shitty advice based on like like you know nothing.
Yeah. Try to get on television. That seems to be the thing to do.
Yeah, Like that girl said, take fountain. Everyone's like, oh, that's so wise. Oh, no, it's not. It's so demeaning.
Best
like,
quote
you can't
ever.
Tell me anything. You're like, I don't relate to any of you.
It's really funny, Jeff.
Take the quick road, I guess.
Who said that? Like Mae West? Or
I want to say it's Betty.
Joan Osborne.
Betty Davis. That is that quote's attributed to, I believe, Betty Davis.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. What's remember the best way for an actress to get through Hollywood? Take fountain.
Oh.
Pretty funny.
It's so funny if you know the layout of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Also, it was not her joke.
No,
oh, really.
It's clearly told to her bars like 50 times. She was a maybe. Dumb actress. She got discovered at a coffee
you
shop.
You don't know that's not her. You're thinking of someone else.
I'm thinking of all actresses before 1990.
That is not at all the case.
Betty Davis?
She did not get discovered at the coffee shop. At Schwab's, you're thinking of someone else.
No, I'm thinking of a lot of them.
No, they
I'm
were like
of a generalization
Natalie Wood.
People like that.
By the way, the amount coffee of shop. Screen testing it took to become like a contract player back then was arduous. You had to like because you were a contract player, so you basically had a deal with the studio, and then you were in a bunch of movies. But you had to do all these tests; they'd make you get
to make sure you were likable.
Yeah, they'd do
there were
all
like
this
eight
stuff.
Movie stars back then.
Oh, well, that's right. That's when I learned how to walk with books on their heads.
Yeah, well, you have to do all those classes. You had to learn to sing, and you had to learn to dance, and then once you became a contract player, you were constantly working. It wasn't like this movie star shit now, where they do a movie a year.
That's like being like Korean rap, pop star.
Yeah, you would do a movie a week or a month or something. You were always working. Working. Like the stars didn't get like huge paychecks like back then.
Grand a year.
You work a car. No, I mean, well, $8,000 in the '30s was basically $600,000. I mean, a car was $8, but you were a contract player. But you had to do so much more. Everyone was so much more talented then.
They did everything back.
Yeah, everyone could sing. Everyone could dance. Everyone could tell jokes.
I listened to an old Groucho Marx stand-up record, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Him doing
comedy.
Are
you tindering?
No.
What do you keep tindering for?
I'm not on Tinder.
What are you on?
I'm on Twitter.
Why
I was just checking a thing. I'm sorry.
So I'm listening to the album, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. He does like 15 minutes of stand-up, and then he gets on a fucking piano.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing that. And then he starts like singing.
Just an entertainer.
I'm like, you're an entertainer.
That's what those shows were like. You came out, you opened the show with some jokes, and you're like, this reminds me of a song. And then you sang a bunch of songs, and then you told the story, and you sang some more songs. The show was over.
Nobody watches those people anymore.
Well, they don't
they didn't
exist.
Get great at any one thing.
Groucho Marx was great.
Well, that's why fine. Joke. That's why there was no. They had no problem with joke stealing then because you just had an act.
It wasn't
stealing.
It was just share. There was no concept.
It
of
was
an
the same thing as
doing comedy.
Singing a standard song.
Yeah. It was all that.
Yeah, you just sang songs. Yeah.
That's how I kind of feel about who's the old blue eyes. What's his name?
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I'm always like. He didn't even write his own shit. He just had a voice.
Yeah, nice voice.
And then Dean Martin had an attitude, but he didn't do shit.
Yeah, he's just an arrogant dude.
Like Kurt Cobain had a message.
Yeah, I mean the difference to me between someone who sings and writes their own songs is immeasurable.
Yeah, he was doing American Idol.
Yeah, or just a voice. You just buy the songs.
There's no standard for that back then.
Yeah, but there's a lot of your famous pop stars now are that.
That's why Lenny Bruce is like so. Legendary.
Why?
Because he wasn't like this, like incredibly awesome.
Oh, he just
comic.
Came with his own
he was just groundbreaking.
He
made
like,
it.
How about
like,
if I write this? And everyone's like, "You don't write it."
Yeah.
Joke.
How about if I inject my opinions into this?
Yeah.
Instead of like take my wife, please type shit.
Yeah. Know? I want both. Give me both. You bet. You write the song, man.
That's the only way now.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
like
you
now
know.
You see a guy singing on stage. You're like, what a fucking prick this guy. Just do the jokes at
show
home.
Their range.
Yeah.
Someone was talking about that where, like, all these people that we thought were, like, oh, amazing. But, like, if you saw Emo Phillips now, like, he was doing clubs, you'd be like, why are you doing that voice, bro?
Yeah, it's not you, man.
What are you doing? Why do you do that?
Tastes really vary between from generation to generation. You really have to judge a person in their own context. Because otherwise, you just. I mean, I see that's a big thing in art. Is you really have to like you're like why is this important? And then you look at the year and you find out what was going on at the time.
It's hard to watch prior and go like wow this is unbelievable, but when you go back you're like he was doing this then.
Well, and also you've seen Eddie Murphy,
Joan Rivers stuff too with the abortion jokes. Like, oh, if you're doing abortion jokes in black and white,
yeah,
and all those crazy political guys,
Mort Saul.
Yeah.
It was just like you have to have an understanding. I mean, I listened to the Iggy Pop episode of Maron's podcast, and Iggy Pop would say this. He was describing these guys. He was like, he was the kind of guy who would show up in like a red jacket. You know what I mean? And you're like, no. But at the time, it's like you're talking about back in the day. Back then, you're talking late 60s, early 70s. If a bunch of jocks saw a guy in weird clothes, they'd just beat you up in the street, and there were no repercussions for anyone.
Oh, right. The live out. Social Distortions live at the Roxy. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, yeah.
And he, in between songs, he'll talk to the crowd and stuff, and he'll tell stories about like, oh, this song was written here or then. Yeah. And he's like, back when we were coming up, he's like, you couldn't just walk around with tattoos and piercings. He goes, now girls go and get their little pussies pierced at the mall. He's like, back then, if you looked like we did.
How you doing, man? You know, I was driving through Hollywood today, and it was that parking lot across the street from the Whiskey. About 18 years ago, we used to sit back there and drink, and we'd get warmed up for the show. That was back when a time when society was not quite ready for this type of music. Does anyone remember those days? That's when punk rock was dangerous, right? You couldn't walk into a mall and get your little pussy pierced and your little Doc Martin boots and your crazy color for your hair. You walked down the street with blue hair, you was going to get in a fight with about 5 angry construction workers or the local college football team, rednecks, or cops. Yeah, sometimes they kicked our ass, but you know what? Sometimes we beat the fuck out of them. That's right, I was about 4 foot fucking 8, and I hit the biggest motherfucker there. This song's called Prison Bound. Couldn't walk down the street without getting into a fight with construction workers or whatever.
I mean, cops would break up the shows and beat everyone up.
Yeah.
People don't under my friend's dad was a cop during the 70s in L.A.
What?
And a lot of and a lot of that, he used to just cops back then, instead of writing tickets, you
can
just
take
went
care
and
of
busted
a parking ticket I just got last
yes,
week.
Yes, you can.
Okay, cool.
You would just go bust heads. Like literally, when you were a rookie cop,
yeah, I was going to say that.
You would
like,
go
break.
A lot of times, he said if you arrested a guy, the guy would be like, man, I don't want to go to jail. Can you just kick my ass? And
really?
They'd be like, yeah. And they'd just take his drugs, beat him up.
Wow.
And you would break up parties. You'd break up shows.
A lot of times they didn't ask that, though.
No, they probably. But yeah, the cops would show up to punk shows and break it up and just crack skulls.
Oh, why?
So I mean, I had a teacher in art school who was like, you have to understand, punk was not cool. He goes, it wasn't cool. People didn't like it. People didn't like us.
Oh, so it was like, get out of here. Oh,
it
really?
Literally was underground.
So cool, you were a loser. You got looked at like a loser for dressing like that.
Yeah, there were like scary venues to go to watch. You're like, am I going to get into a fight? There's going to be like weird people here.
Well, like when I was in high school, me and my friends started a hip-hop dancing crew. No big deal. And we dressed like it. Like we wore humongous pants and huge clothes. And we were the only ones. And no one liked it.
Yeah.
We were actively made fun of all the time. I had teachers make fun of me. Like, because it wasn't like, oh, yeah, you're into that cool thing, hip-hop. It was like, because since our school was all white, basically, it was just like, why are you doing that? Why aren't you doing the thing we're all doing? You just look weird to us. You just look different, and why? Like, why are you wearing pants why are you wearing size 42 waist pants? You're a 28 waist. And it was just like, oh, no one liked it. It didn't get us anything. It didn't get us attention. It didn't get us any positive attention whatsoever. But it was just what we sort of liked to do at the time. But punk, all that stuff is the same. Yeah, it's really hard. You have to judge all that shit by its context.
Yeah, it's hard to know. And then it's also hard to know it's just like wasn't that good, but you were a kid, so you thought it was okay.
Oh, yeah. All the stuff you watch. I mean, lots of stuff doesn't hold up.
Taxi okay?
Yeah. Caddyshack.
Caddyshack still. Maybe not.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if it was just cult. It just caught on because of the time or something.
And a lot of it, if you don't watch it for a long time, there's the hype it lives up to. You always compare it.
I watched, what's it called again? Billy Madison.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, clearly those guys just fucking around with each other.
Yeah.
He asks his dad for permission to go back to kindergarten through 12.
Yeah.
And do it. And the dad's like, the one last chance. He's like, all right.
If you We're all pretty familiar with the structure of Billy Madison.
But so then he does it. He does a dance on the steps for about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
He just, like... Just as a dance.
And at the time, at that age, when you're watching that, you're like, man, I'm dumb in the exact same way. Yeah, it's relatable. 15,
it's the greatest movie ever.
It's about something being relatable. Like, when I listen to music now, if it's like a band that's notably younger than me, and they're like singing rock songs about like girl trouble, I'm like, just go talk to a different girl, man.
Yeah.
They're everywhere and you're in a band.
Yeah. I can't listen to, if I go back and listen to like the punk and the stuff I used to listen to when I was a kid, I'm like, A, it's too loud now. Like, that aggression I had when I was a kid,
it's
you wanted
gone.
It loud. And when you listen to the lyrics, they're just like, it's all anti-government, anti-corporate, but in no clever or meaningful way.
Yeah.
It's just, they just were like, down with authority nine times
it's
in a row.
It's just a way to say, society has society, four syllables, so it's basically took the place of an entire line in a punk
that
song.
That was a Pennywise song. It was called Society.
I can't tell you how many punk songs that I listened to growing up, because you could stretch that word out, so you just, every band was like, society! Yeah.
Society!
It's just a long word. They all crack the code. It's like 90s bands singing Dirty Cage.
You don't know what else you don't know what else they're saying, so it's like, whoa, it's deep.
Yeah
That was a review of Sarah McLachlan once, when they're like, just use words like vampire
and like bad lyrics about wanting to fly, wanting to be free.
Now all the bands are doing, they'll just use like soul and heart a lot. Those like folk rocky bands, or they'll talk about creeks and meadows.
Is that what Creed did when you were listening to them forever?
Forever.
Do you know what else they sorry, they're an awesome band, but they when they talk about being an outlaw, a rebel, a lot, and it's like, grow up. No, you're not.
Yeah,
what? Yeah.
Well,
you're
I don't
a
like
rebel when you walk into Sony's music headquarters.
What I'm sick of is I notice every band on at about album three, when maybe the second album didn't do well, does a song about the radio and who gets to be on it, or about their 15 minutes and how they love you, then they throw you away. It's like, bro, do you think this is a new concept? Like, there's songs about this for the last 30 years, and you're just
listening.
You're the new guy who's bummed that your last album didn't do well because it wasn't as good, man.
Album two always has like a story about being on the road, and how miserable and lonely you are. You're like, oh, you're the first one.
Yeah.
No one's ever done that before.
There was a country singer, and I can't remember the name, but they were talking about, he was talking like a truck driver or something, and he was like, what kind of country music do you like? He's like, I only listen to old stuff. He goes, why? He goes, because you guys used to sing about us, now you just sing about yourselves.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, dang. It's like, Cold Miner's Daughter. Like, you guys just sing about like real working guys. Now it's about them on the road. It's like, yeah, but you're in a huge bus that's nicer than most people's homes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how hard it is to be a fucking truck driver? Yeah.
Like, you don't relate to
us. Like, you're not the same. It's like, what? There was a football player, and after a game, he got all pissed off, and he was like, man, I'm a soldier! And he goes, like, he yelled, like, I'm a soldier. It was like, no.
Soldiers.
No one shot at you on the field there, buddy. And he had to, like, really apologize.
Oh, he was calling being a football player.
Yeah, he was basically making the case for himself on the field, like, why he does what he does. And, like, he was like, man, I'm a soldier. It was like, no, you're not.
He just took a fun extracurricular activity and made it a career.
Yeah, for millions
of
dollars.
And now you have millions of dollars.
Yeah, he got in a lot of trubs for that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's how they're supposed to talk all the time, too. They're supposed to have...
Well, the coaches, juice them all up. Yeah, they get these like military-style pep talks before the game, but it's like,
it's all about team.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them, I'm discovering more and more, they're just dudes collecting a check. Like, this is what I do.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun job, but...
Half of them, I think, are like that. Like, they realize, once their team's out of it, they're like, I'm not getting injured for this shit. Yeah, we're not winning.
I don't want to go to Cleveland. It's Wednesday.
Yeah. So they're like, man, I'll play hard enough, but I'm not going to break my spine for we're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, because what's the average age of retirement?
Football, it's 3 years.
19 and a half.
You still have most of your life after that.
That's the craziest thing to me.
I want to be able to walk places.
That's the craziest shit to me.
Yeah.
I did
on
a
off chance that you become a superstar.
I did a commercial with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and watching that dude move around, you were like, man, your body is betraying you.
Yeah.
Just tired.
The worst has got to be the all those old WWF wrestlers.
Oh, you're my
like,
God.
It wasn't even real.
Oh, my God.
Mick Foley did my storyteller show in Montreal, and there's two steps, and it took him like 19 minutes.
Dude, those guys walk around like they just got thawed out.
Yeah, it's like, who thinks that's fake? Look at that body.
It's football without pads. God, those guys.
I mean, it's fake in the sense that it's not real. It's all.
But the athleticism is real, and the hitting the ground is real.
Yeah.
The punches are probably one of the tiny things that aren't real, the less real, but that landing on the mat over and over and over and over and over and over.
And hit you with their forearm.
Oh.
It sounds like the loudest punch in the world.
So great. Love wrestling. Loved it as a kid.
It's making an ironic comeback now.
Dude, bring it. I'm going to ironically get a boner.
Yeah, it is. Hipsters have gotten to it.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
They'll have wrestling parties. They'll wear, like, I see a lot of old
stuff.
I see a lot more old wrestling shirts in vintage stores.
Yeah, you got to go to them now. You got to go to a vintage store to get the wrestling shirt to be like, nah, I'm cool with this wrestling
party. I saw a fucking Hulkamania.
Yeah, I feel that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, a WrestleMania shirt. WrestleMania 2 for like fucking $55.
What?
And there was nothing special about it.
Oh,
it
was this collector's
WrestleMania
item.
2, but it wasn't like a cool collectible. It was
but when they have collector's items, those stuff always go up. Even if you're not into it. You're still like, what? Who cares about this band? Somebody.
Or you're freaking out.
I've been there. When it's like, why is this shirt? It's okay. It should be $18 tops.
Ari, you're freaking out.
That place on Melrose, they kill you. The end of Melrose?
Yeah.
What place?
You know that place.
Which I know,
end?
Yeah.
What's it called? The beginning end, the improv end.
It's yellow. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, World, the T-shirt World of whatever. You know
like
why those are expensive? A lot of buyers will go when they're buying stuff for films.
Yeah,
because they're like, I just need 28 concert T-shirts, and they'll pay whatever.
Oh, is that place expensive? I've actually got a lot of shirts there.
It's super expensive.
Can be. I mean, the most expensive place.
Just sometimes, yeah.
There's a place.
Well, there's the cage at that place that has the really high expensive stuff.
Which
one? Oh, the one in the where in the back.
Yeah,
yeah. That's insane.
Honestly, that place. Okay,
it's like a speakeasy
the world
for more expensive stuff.
In the world of overpriced vintage T-shirts, that place actually isn't that expensive. Their stuff, they top out at like 100.
You go to
American Rag, they have no shit an AC/DC T-shirt there that is a masterpiece. It's perfect. It's $450.
No way.
And someone will buy it for sure.
Across American the street Rag? From American Rag, there's a place called Kelly Cole.
Their prices aren't as bad.
Some of them, they have a bunch of shirts that are like anywhere from $250 to $450.
Yeah.
And do you get those shirts?
I can't. I feel bad even touching them.
Kevin?
I have.
You've gotten them?
I've never.
A vintage shirt? Can you try it on and see how good it feels?
Yeah, you try it on.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's literally a shirt I cannot buy anywhere else.
Yeah.
I bought one and gave it to my friend as a gift.
But Boone has shirts like that, too.
No, he doesn't. His shirts suck. Otherwise, I'd buy them.
They're terrible.
But they're not good.
You can't buy it anywhere else. It's just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a difference between just like a concert shirt.
I mean, look,
and then
I will make
rare,
the case.
Good concert shirt.
First of all, those shirts are literally not available anymore.
Yeah.
The printing is of a quality that doesn't exist these days.
Oh, because they all go cheap now.
And they're fucking great. You can't fake it.
Ashley said that guys should be done with like concert shirts, any sort of graphics at all. It's like it's over.
By a certain age or just in general?
It's over. Oh, yeah, probably by a certain age. Probably what you meant. It's like it's fine when you're like 19. But if you're a grown man.
I think for certain types of shirts.
Illustrated shirt.
I think she's not wrong to a certain degree. But I think there's caveats.
Like most of the shirts.
Got on. Most of my shirts. She would say this too. Band of Horses. She'd be like, nope.
That's sort of acceptable. Certain band shirts you can kind of wear, especially if you're like, if
they have
clear.
Art on them.
I don't like a modern band shirt. Like past what? A certain age. I think wearing a shirt of a band that's out now seems odd.
Boom, like this.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Why odd?
I don't know. I don't feel like you like them that much.
No, I don't. I just got it. I was like,
okay. That's what I'm saying. It's free. It says I got this for free.
No, I wasn't free. It was like
$30. Whereas like an old AC/DC shirt is like, no, these guys stood the test of time, and so did this fucking shirt.
Oh,
and
right.
It's also nostalgic for you. You're like, okay, you were clearly around when you listened
so many
to them growing.
But so many people just buy those fucking.
I mean,
from Race, you should buy those old Guns N' Roses shirts.
I'm going through
them.
A very.
You should get them anywhere.
I'm going through a phase right now where I'm buying they're reissued skateboard t-shirts from when I was a kid.
Oh.
So it's the stuff I either had or wanted as a child. And a lot of it's being reissued, and I'm buying all of it. And it makes me really happy.
Really?
Yeah. But also, in Los Angeles, it's a bit of suspended childhood.
Yeah.
So you can, it's just different here.
That's why everybody here makes remakes of movies.
Yeah.
because everybody running it's like, yeah, remember.
Yeah, then? Let's make this worse.
Also, like, okay, I'm supposed to wear like a button-down shirt tucked in. Where am I going where that's appropriate?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that job.
I try sometimes just for kicks to get a button-down shirt, tuck it in, and then do the thing where you lift your arms
yeah.
up. And then just pull it out to a little puff below it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty weird.
Yeah,
it feels weird, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be the way to go. No?
I don't know. You're slim enough, and if you do that, they don't puff out too much.
Not puff out, but just...
Is this us segueing into fashion?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very smooth one.
Wow.
Until Kevin even was like,
are we segueing into...
Kevin ruined the...
You know what? I don't like...
that post.
I don't like when anything's organic.
You don't like when it's organic?
No, really? I like a nice, awkward beginning.
Yeah, that's how our podcasts start.
Yeah, they start weird.
Hi, how's it going?
In medias res is one of the terms I know from English still.
What is it?
In the middle of the story, you don't pick up like, Samantha was a girl. She moved to a town.
Yeah, she
so
should be
Samantha
established.
Stormed out of the man's house.
Right? Yeah, there was blood everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to grip you right away.
What do you want to know about fashion, Ari, who doesn't have the best fashion
well,
sense?
Well, already we were talking about
age-appropriate wear.
We were just doing it.
Well, you know, what I've learned about over the years is there's stuff I really like that just isn't going to look good on me.
Yeah. But there's stuff that has looked good on you. Like what?
Okay, I really like the way the kids dress where they wear lots of colors all at once.
Bright colors, yeah.
I can't do
Jeff
that.
Keith can, though.
Who's that?
Pretty comic.
Okay. Yeah. But like, and like, I like really bright colored cartoonish sneakers. Like really brightly colored ones.
That's
good
for
on
black
me.
People.
Not good on me.
Yeah.
Just, I very specific. There's a look I have, and the things I buy, I try to keep it within that look. And I can admire the other stuff, but I just know, like, yeah, I like that, but it's not going to work.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's got to work on you.
Yeah, you got to know your own sense of style. That's why the casting directors for clothes,
stylists. Wow.
Whenever they say
a casting director,
it's not inaccurate, but it's still wrong.
It's still such a long way to get to.
Yeah, it's such a weird way
and
to look
like
at it.
And it's like you've never even met a stylist.
Where is it? This point, you've met
lady.
So many
the clothing people,
but they always tell you like bring your own stuff in, and it's not because they don't know what they're just like, you know what looks good on you. You wear stuff.
No,
you know,
that's because they don't want to go
because they're lazy.
They don't want to go shopping.
But they also ask, well, like, is this something you would wear? They always ask that.
Yeah, kind of.
I always go, everything I have has a corporate logo on it.
Yeah,
sorry.
Me too. I didn't realize at first.
I'm also done doing that too, because I'll bring in a mountain of clothes. I'll spend all this time compiling them, and then they never use any of them.
Yeah.
It's just a big waste of time.
You get $16. I'm like, that wasn't even worth going through my stuff.
I've had them lose my stuff. It's not worth it.
Yeah, fuck that.
Lost a pair of glasses, lost my skateboard necklace.
Like, hey, can you bring in a leather jacket? I'm like, I'll never bring in a leather jacket.
And when they ruin stuff, they say they'll pay for it. They never get around to it.
Fuck that.
The production's done.
Yeah.
What are there things that you can wear, but then some point it no longer becomes okay to wear?
It's just skate stuff, like the kind of graphic printed, because past a certain age it's like, do you work for that band? Are you in that band?
Yeah,
it's weird to wear something
all UNC Tar Heel stuff.
It also depends on what you do for a living or socially a lot of the times, like if you work in the world of fashion or music, you can dress like a skate kid or whatever forever.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Brett, for instance, is an art director.
Okay.
He's been wearing AC/DC t-shirts for 25 years. He still looks cool as shit, and for him, that's appropriate. He works in music. He's surrounded by that kind of thing. It actually probably helps him because he's so cool looking.
It would look weird if he wore a suit.
It's appropriate.
Yeah.
But like I don't really know what's appropriate for me, because it's not like I have a day job. I don't have a corporate job necessarily.
You have nothing.
Yeah,
you're
but
vagabond.
It's... Well,
you get a lot of... wiggle room because you're also an artist. And artists can wear whatever they want.
Yeah, but you don't wear
forever.
Weirdo shit like artists.
No, I don't want to be. There's a type of older person at the art gallery that I actively fear I will become.
You dress like a graphic designer.
Yeah.
But you're not. I mean, you're you predate that.
Yeah.
Is that lady like when you wear like a flower print dress, like a red flower print dress with a beekeeper's hat and like a bright blue top?
There's a type of wacky style that you see at art galleries where it's just like everything's all pattern and just wacky and bright. And the guy's like a striped blazer with like zebra and then like wacky glasses. And it's just like, I'm creative. And you're like, no, dude, you look like a shit show.
You're really trying to call attention to yourself.
Whereas like if successful artists are always just all black.
All
like
right.
What you know about me is my mind, not my clothes.
Yeah, it's like
I think weird. Past a certain age, trying to over describe yourself with your outfit says that you don't do anything interesting.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like okay, you're trying to say too much with your outfit.
Yeah,
I mean that's what clothes is. Clothing says something about you.
T-shirts though.
Yeah, but I think like that band is full of dudes younger than you.
Yeah.
And you don't love them that much.
No, I barely know. I don't know the names of any of their songs.
Yeah, so it's like, I think there are
no reason to own it.
There are cool t-shirts for you out there. Like the t-shirts I have that I think are really cool are like 80s skate designs where I'm like, dude, this is the shit. You don't, and like other people who of my age range will see them and be like, dude, where'd you get that shit?
What about an illustration?
Those are the best band shirts to me. The ones where there's an illustration or a graphic the name is very small or not there at all. And then people go, oh, where'd you get that shirt? You're like, oh, it's a something something tour shirt.
That's what most bands try to do now. I notice when I'm doing any kind of band t-shirt work, it's about like not having the name. Because they realize it's not cool to wear.
Have to wear.
It's not cool to wear someone else's name on your chest.
Yeah.
Because it makes it look like you don't do anything. And everyone wants to look like they're doing something. Do you understand what I mean?
And the people like that.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
It does kind of say that you don't do anything special.
But that's a real. I also think that's very specific to LA. Because I also think it's a lot of the reason.
Iron Maiden shirts, they're not fashionable, but like.
Yeah, but it's like Iron Maiden doesn't put out records, really.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
all
just.
You can get is a shirt.
The t-shirts are epic.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're so cool looking. Yeah. And that's just more of like a. It looks rebellious, like I'm into the devil.
Yeah.
You know, like you see a lot of that, like Sabbath t-shirts, Iron Maiden.
I had a kid accuse me of that in 8th grade.
Metallica.
I had an Iron Maiden shirt, the only one I ever had. And it was Eddie on the front crushing a record in his hand in like a radio station. Yeah. And then on the back, it was an antenna tower.
Yeah.
And then it said 666 around it.
Oh, and this, the devil, because like, the devil likes that number. Yeah.
Yeah, the devil took over the radio.
Yeah.
And then this kid, this like super thuggish for like suburban LA standards, comes up to me and he's like, oh, bro, you worship the devil? And I forgot I was wearing the shirt. I'm like, what? No, he's like, this shit's weird, man. You got 666 on your shirt. It's weird.
Hip-hop people who are into hip-hop are terrified of Satanists.
Yeah.
My example is this.
There Black was, people, magic.
The there was kids one, in school were like...
There was a MTV Video Awards, of which where Marilyn Manson performed. It was one, he was the android guy.
Yeah.
And he was all Satan-y looking. And you look, they had a shot of the crowd, and like several of the... They panned to where all the rap people were, and they were averting their eyes.
Yeah.
They were like not looking on purpose. Yeah. Because he was like a vision of the devil.
Duncan always found that when he did Little Hobo, when he did the part where they have a duet at the end.
Yeah, I like, love that.
How the fuck does he do that? Black people just go, oh, no.
Yeah.
No. That's how they react when that magician guy does tricks, too.
Really?
They'll walk away going like, David Blaine, the street.
Oh, yeah, when he would go to football, when he would go to like the Dallas locker room. Cowboys, your favorite team.
That shit's deep in there.
Yeah. They're very religious people.
Yeah.
Baptists, things like that. They take any kind of Baptist, white or black, takes Satan actually quite seriously. Keep Satan out of your life. Like, they actually believe he's around Satan doing stuff.
Satan's big in fashion now.
Satan is huge in fashion
now?
Yeah.
That sort of imagery.
Putting inverted, you see pattern shirts that just have inverted crosses.
There is a great company.
You can get them in the mall.
Yeah.
Places.
There is a really great company called Actual Pain. That makes tremendous Satan-y looking shirts.
Yeah.
But that kind of Aleister Crowley kind of pentagrams and just that
not
kind
the
of
devil horns anymore, like the
no, that's very big. The ram horns are huge. All that
any
stuff
symbolism, not like pictures of the devil or like a red devil holding a pitchfork, but
the Star of David's very big right now.
Satanic
David,
symbol.
Yeah.
I don't know. It
just
shows
ironic religious stuff.
The idea of like paganism. Yeah,
it's
huge. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Because also, like, the idea of atheism is so big now that people can make that and not take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't... And there's a market for it.
Yeah.
Because
I have a lot of it.
Really?
I have a shirt. There's a company that makes great shit like that called Blackcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's all like... I have a shirt that is a Ouija board, and it says, Hail Satan and Drink Coffee.
Yeah.
And there's just... coffee cups.
I have a shirt from Actual Pain.
It looks evil as shit, and it's fucking awesome.
It's a reprint of this old hotline they used to have in magazines called, like, Feel Like You're Being Pulled Into a Cult. It was a helpline, and it had, like, symbols of the occult. And it's super, super popular right now because I think you've had such a... there's been, religion has had such a bad decade with like mass molestations and all these wars and things. People are just like, fuck this. And it's so fun. I find Satanism really funny. Yeah, it's just sort of like, I worship the devil. And it's just sort of funny to me.
Yeah.
And so the shirts are sort of hilarious. It's like, and the idea that that would still bother someone, that like an upside down cross, they're like, oh no. Yeah. It's like, dude, you idiot.
Religion. I heard Stern interview Ozzy
mm-hmm.
recently, and he was like, they were talking about the new band, new song or something, and it was like, you know, Hail to the Devil or something like that. He goes, oh, because they're Satanists, everyone. So normally you would hail to God, but they're Satanists, so they gave it up for the devil. Is that right? Yes, that is correct. But Duncan says that's not real Satanism.
No, real Satanism, from what I understand, is just about like doing what you want, and as long as you don't hurt other people,
it's
per
more
se.
Like hedonism.
Hedonism, yeah, it's about like being enjoying, like putting your pleasure first, and not like doing whatever you want to be happy. Yeah.
I enjoy personally shoving wine down someone's mouth until their stomach starts to distend, mm-hmm. and they get bit, and then you stab them.
See, that would not work. That is hurting
someone.
That's
Judaism, isn't it?
No.
That sounds like some Old Testament shit of how to cleanse a woman who let a man touch her on the wrong day.
That was that movie. What was that movie about, like, the hedonism?
Back to the Future?
No. Who are you waiting for a text from?
No, we're
doing a call
and it's
podcast.
Vibrating.
Kevin.
What's playing?
I'm getting a call and it's vibrating, so I didn't want to take it off the table, so it didn't
that
make
shit, no. Dude.
Your mom's on airplane mode.
Where's my mom?
Get out.
Yeah.
Get out of your own home.
Yeah.
Are there any things you see in your wardrobe that look great for a while, then all of a sudden you have to face one day, like, I guess I'm going to have to part ways with you?
Yeah.
I don't wear it anymore. My what were those shirts you had that was long sleeve and then they had like a number in the middle? Polo shirt, not polo shirts, rugby shirts.
Uh-huh. Rugby
they were
shirts.
In for a while, then they had to go away, and I eventually gave, and then they came back for a little bit, like 15 years later.
I never got into that. Anything sports related, I don't wear because I don't watch it or care about
it's not
it.
Really sports related.
I've stopped wearing any shirt I don't sincerely like the message of. So I don't have any ironic shirts.
What about just a blank polo shirt?
I don't own any polo shirts.
Wow, really?
I don't have a use for them.
I have a few like American Apparel polo ones.
I don't.
Why? What's your problem with polo?
Oh, because I'm such a normal looking white guy. If like on Nick it looks a little ironic and cool.
You look like Opie?
I just look like I'm gonna go golf.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. Like I love like loafers or something, but when I wear them, they don't look ironic and cool. I just look like a white dude.
That style looks cool on like a flat out rock star.
Yeah, I just
covered
look
in
like
tattoos,
a,
crazy hair. A
I
polo
just look
shirt,
like a
you have real polo shirts.
I have a couple like old American Apparel ones. I don't wear them that much anymore, but.
I look like a yuppie.
I like stripes on a polo shirt. No one that doesn't look like you're going to play golf in. Not like a clean one, but like some with like some splash of color.
Yeah.
I just got rid. I've been getting rid of clothing and stuff, and I'm getting rid of just old graphic T-shirts that kind of are just like they were cool for a little while, and I'm just like, you know what? The last time I wore that shirt was 3 years ago. It's gone now. I'm getting rid of it.
You don't feel the desire to put it on anymore.
Yeah, skinny jeans. Those are gone.
Skinny jeans are gone.
I don't wear skinny jeans anymore.
Whoa.
They're kind of not as popular as they were, and they're also I'm too old for it.
Yeah, I'm too old for very skinny jeans.
Yeah, it just looks like silly now.
I mean, to me, a lot of what I get rid of now, it's because of my age, and it's like most of it's based on fit.
How old are you?
36.
Oh my gosh.
But like, I want clothes that actually fit me right, and so like stuff I've had that like I wore. Because I bought it cheap or whatever. It's like I'd rather have something
now you have some
nice.
Money. You're like, why don't I just get? You're one of the first guys I know that get only guy I know that ever got his jeans tailored.
Well, I get them hemmed so they're the right length.
That's true.
I have short legs, so I have to. I know it's the worst.
That's also another issue for like how you were saying you got to dress appropriate to how you look and who you are.
Yeah,
I'm 6'4". And I have like broad shoulders, and I would try and make this skinny, like slim fit shirt fit me, and the skinny jeans. But I'm just a big guy, And I'd see these little hipstery looking dudes, like with these super slim skinny shirts.
Like you used to be skinny.
What do you mean?
I mean, when you were younger, you were skinny.
I was never that like scrawny, like emaciated.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
like Matt Edgar.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. I was never able to. Because I work out and I'm built like bigger and I'm just like, I look dumb trying to wear that.
Yeah.
And I just had to like tell myself that's not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I look better in a button down shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a jacket or something. I look, even you see it with girls. They were like, oh, you look like a man.
I look better. Like when
I'm trying to look like a little hipstery kid.
That's what Patrice said at some point.
You get
used to wear
with that.
FUBU stuff.
And then at some point, he switched to purple suits, and they're like, why? He's like, you got to dress like your age.
Most of the stuff I buy now is like adult male clothing.
Yeah.
Just because at some point, you need to look like a provider. You need to look like a man. You need to look useful. You don't need to look like you're not the message. You're not trying to send messages with your clothes. That's some young people shit. Like, hey, this is who I am. Check out my shirt. It's like past a certain age, you're like, I'll tell you who I am.
Yeah.
My actions will show who I am. My clothing are just a covering. I want the smart and nice and like well-made versions of those things. But like, I'm not trying to... So if what I'm wearing is the linchpin of why you like me, I've failed.
Yeah, but you don't want to wear like, neither one of you would ever wear like a Bud Light shirt, like the one that looks like you got free out of like,
no.
A
fucking t-shirt can. No, because it's shitty.
It looks like you're not.
I wouldn't even wear that to the gym.
I see people, I would wear it to the gym. That's a place to wear it. That's the kind of place you're playing basketball. That's the kind of place you wear those.
Past
things.
A certain age, you want to look like you make good decisions.
Yeah.
And your clothing is, you want to look like you know.
Somebody like that at the store once. There's an also, audience member. I'm like, what? Are you went out like this?
Yeah. There's less excuse when you're older. Like, the biggest mistake people make it with style is confusing, like, setting trends and trying too hard.
A lot
of times you're like, dude, I'm my own fucking thing. It's like, no, you're a collection of a bunch of pre-existing things.
Yeah.
And you just look like you're trying way too hard.
I met an artist
hard.
Once at some opening, and her thing was curtsying.
Yeah, that's...
And it was like, really? That's what you went with?
Get the fuck
that's
over
That's how you're gonna separate yourself?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, at this point... You know, at my age, it's like I've done enough stuff to where it's like my shirt shouldn't be the thing that wins the battle.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, but you still want something looking cool on you.
I want something that looks good, not cool.
Right, cool's
the wrong word because here's the thing. I'm too old to be cool. I'm not going to be trendy. I can look good. I can look appropriate.
Look good. Yeah.
But like no one's going to emulate my style.
Yeah, but you can be a cool 36-year-old as opposed to some like house husband.
Yeah, no.
Who wears fucking whatever.
Yeah, I look. I try to dress like I know what clothing should look like
cool
on someone.
Cool is for like your 20s, and like stylish is for your 30s.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Stylish is for when you're an adult.
I always noticed this girl, Miss Shore, Ellie Shore's mom. She always looked good, elegant, like old lady.
You have to look. I notice this, like, especially as a man.
Yeah.
Past a certain age, it's not cool to look junky, like dirty clothes or like things that look beat up. It's like, no, that makes you look like you're unsuccessful.
Failure.
Yeah, and past 35 or 40, it's like, so you failed?
What are you, a diner waitress?
You got roommates over there?
Yeah. Like when you see like those cougars out at bars with like low-cut shirts and short skirts, you're like, but you're not,
why
you're dressed
why
like your daughter.
The cleavage you want to show off doesn't have wrinkles in it.
Yeah.
The cleavage is smooth cleavage.
Yeah, dress like an adult, you'll look way hotter.
It makes you look dumb.
Yeah, it's like you won't look hotter, but like you have no chance. You have a chance to attract a guy in that range.
Yeah.
You're way out of your range going the other way.
Because no one's coming to someone your age for that.
You don't post up against Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
It's just a bat. That's the analogy I should have used.
Yeah, like I'm not inside the key. Don't ask me. Do not. I don't need to be inside the key. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm around for a good outlet pass.
Yeah.
Leave me open near the free throw line.
How hard was that for you to come up with those references?
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
But the kid did it, you guys. And he did it wearing perfect denim.
Let's
take a quick moment and talk about men's socks.
Okay.
What kind of things are you should go with and stay away from?
Okay, what you're doing right now, you have a wacky sock on.
Yep.
Okay. I do not mind a wacky sock with plain clothes.
Plain clothes,
because
yeah.
What it is, it's a little bit of sartorial splendor.
Splash.
Mm-hmm. It's a splash.
It's an accessory.
It's like a brooch. It's like what you and I do with our glasses.
Yeah.
Okay? It's like that.
A little much, but not like crazy.
It shows that you have style. It gives you a little bit of flair. It shows you thought about it.
But like, so you would limit that to what? Only shoes?
Small
socks,
things.
Only
most of
hat.
Your clothing should be very... simple, should be classic, but then you have little things. I mean, it's the way like women, you'll see women wear like a very classic black dress, but then they'll have like super crazy, like high heel, like red pumps or like a very interesting shoe.
Yeah.
I like that.
Would you go with a handkerchief and a suit if you ever wore a suit?
If you have a nice suit and you do a nice pocket square.
Simple suit, yeah.
Yeah, you do. That's where you do like a...
I like the one that's just like a poof and like stuffed in.
Yeah, you'll see a guy with like a beautiful gray suit, but then the tie will be interesting and then it'll match the pocket square.
Right.
Or he'll have, you know, everything. It'll be perfect gray suit, perfect brown wingtips, but then the sock will be kind of fun.
Purple sock.
And yeah, it's just a little bit like, hey, I'm not afraid of color. I have a little bit of style.
What do you think of Ruben wearing the Chuck Taylors all the time with suits?
Who?
Who?
Ruben?
What's his name?
Oh, all right.
He's a writer.
Okay.
He always wears a suit with Chuck Taylors.
Oh, Jordan Ruben.
Jordan Ruben. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Yeah.
That's kind of like early 2000s indie rock.
Yeah, that's some early Stroke stuff.
The problem is you can't be stuck on your thing.
You have to.
Style changes.
I did that too. I did that too for a minute. And then I transitioned out of that to where, like, if I had to wear a suit, I would wear Clark Desert boots.
What does that mean?
They're like a 3/4 height boot. They're a little bit they're in between casual and a full dress shoe.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable, but they're not like a Converse All-Star. To me, a Converse All-Star with a suit says dad hanging on a little tight to the youth. Oh, I see it a lot when I was recently at, every time I go to a rock show, you'll see a guy who he'll have like jeans, blazer, rock t-shirt, the newest pair of Chuck Taylors you have ever seen. He was like, oh, going to a concert, rock show, better get some black Chuck Taylors.
Take out those Chuck Taylors I never wear.
And that to me is like, nah, man, put on a boot.
Yeah.
Put on just a heavy boot. That's what Nick and I do. Like, I'm past that.
You wear the pointy toe boots?
No, I mean, I wear like a Red Wing.
What looks like a work boot, kind of. Yeah. Like a simple work boot. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about the basic men's white tube sock with a stripe at the top or no stripe at the top? Like, how do you feel about those?
It depends on the rest of the look. You can get away with that with a rockabilly look if you're wearing beat Converse All-Star, like beat black sneakers, like a Converse All-Star, and you got to have dark cuffed jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you're talking a white or a black t-shirt.
But not just jeans and sneakers.
Nah.
Nick?
No. I wouldn't do it either. I don't own white socks.
That's specifically, I do, and I do it, that's to me is specifically a 1950s style. So you got to do it with a Chuck Taylor or a PF Flyer.
A nod to those 1950s.
You're giving a nod.
Lucas's look, the greaser look.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Greasers can wear it. You can go sort of a greaser look.
Yeah, you could do greaser easy.
Yeah, but that would just be like, who do I think I am at this point?
Yeah, but I don't think it's full greaser. I think it's just that it's a little bit grease monkey, which you would do it with that jeans you have on. It's just white socks and Converse All-Stars. It's
just a plain white crew neck shirt. Like a Hanes t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Throw that on and like jeans that are cuffed up with boots.
That's how you can
look like you just walked out of a. You know, I was like, oh, I was just working on the color.
That's how you can do white socks.
Yeah. Lucas said that every guy should have like a basic fashion sense.
Yeah,
and then like a side fashion sense for like those alternate days, like one day a week. So he has like greaser, and then it's like, well, rockabilly is the same thing, but or whatever else it is, but a different type of look, preppy.
Yeah, something. You need a dress
about
up
3 times a month.
You need a dress up look and a simple look.
Yeah, or just like another look.
Yeah.
Like, go as rockabilly as, like, your side look.
Well, like, my friend Brett, who I told you about, his everyday look is always vintage AC/DC t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or something of that nature, Iron Maiden. And, like, he wears overalls a lot that look cool as shit. But when he has to wear a suit, he does a cowboy suit. Like, a perfectly tailored cowboy suit that nails it.
Would you describe what you feel for Brett as love?
Yes.
Or obsession?
Well, I've said that Brett, my friend Brett Kilroe, I have stolen most of my personality from.
Personality?
Yeah.
Wow.
I learned how to be social around other people from Brett. He's great at it. I also, he's probably my last mentor. He's an art director.
Did you kill all the previous ones?
No, he's the last, he's the last person in my life
I ate their brains.
I would consider my mentor.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I've learned measurable things from him. Oh, very valuable person in my life. One of my favorite people in the entire world.
Do you know him?
He's an art director. He's the one I hired me for album covers and stuff. He designed those books that I made. He's just the shit.
Which ones?
Broken Wrist Project.
Did I tell you I saw that on a pool table in New York?
Really? Oh, the sticker?
Uh-huh.
Were you at a place called Mona's?
Mona's, yeah.
That's Brett put it there.
That's great.
That's Brett's been going to that bar for 20 years. I got so drunk in that bar, I almost threw up on that pool table.
You got drunk?
Yeah, Brett made me get drunk. I drank basically a bottle of whiskey, and then I went to that bathroom. I threw up all over the place, and then I had to take my shirt off because I barfed all over it, and I was wearing a hooded sweatshirt with no shirt underneath at Mona's.
Wow.
They have on Tuesday, they play jazz, but all these people show up in those like 50s, like,
yeah.
like flapper type of guys and girls.
I may have put that fucking sticker on that pool table.
I live in New York
now. It's at a low angle.
Yeah, isn't that on Avenue A or something?
What?
Isn't that on Avenue A?
Uh-huh.
If you go to Mona's enough, if you go to Mona's enough, you'll see Brett.
Maybe I probably have.
Yeah.
I go there all the time.
Yeah, that's his spot.
Tuesdays, man, they go till like 4 a.m., those jazz people.
That has been his spot forever.
Really?
Every bar go till 4 a.m.?
Yeah, isn't that the point?
With the jazz.
Music.
And it's just it's just like comics that hang out. It's just like good jazz musicians, and they have a back table. They all fuck around. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play sax for a while.
Great. I got so drunk in that bar, I was kissing a girl, barfed, and then tried to continue kissing her.
I've done that.
She did not let me.
I did that once.
Really?
Yeah.
It was the first and only time I opened for Pauly.
Oh, yeah. And what happened? That. You're like, I'm going to go get laid. And he's like, no, you got to come hang out with me or you can't go on the road with me again.
Yeah. It was just like, bro, what are you doing? I'm like, having fun, like you said. You said that you're young. This is your time to have fun.
I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you're not the worst guy in the world to go on the road with. Yeah. I'm going to say you're not. Yeah. Six. So what did he say? So you said, no, fuck you. I'm going to
I just said, I'm like, hey, we're going to go out, you know, I'm going to hang out with these girls or whatever. Then I was 21, 22. I got way too drunk. And then I was like puking. And then the girl came in to like help me. She's like, oh, and I was like, yeah, thanks for helping me. And we never tried to kiss her. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. And then the next day I woke up like, because I went to sleep at 4:30. We had to be up at 7:30 for Pancakes with Pauly. Just a radio station giveaway thing.
Pancakes with Pauly.
Yeah, and I woke up like clearly still drunk and way out of it. And he's like, what were you doing, man? I'm like, hanging out with this chick trying to hook up with her, this and that. He's like, dude, you got to be professional. I'm like, for what? To sit in a fucking limo while you do a radio station?
I'm the feature act and you're paying me less than the club is.
Yeah.
Well, so what do I have to do?
Yeah.
I'm selling your t-shirts for you, paying less than the club pays.
Yeah.
That is a part of the Comedy Store process I am glad I never did.
That is not the process. Oh, dealing with Pauly.
Going on the road with Pauly.
Yeah.
I did it once, and he's like, I can't ever take you on the road again. And by then, I'd heard so many bad stories. I'm like, okay, sounds great.
Sounds awesome.
High five.
Yeah, I don't have to like carry your merch bags.
Once I was there with Ren Azizi and Ingram, and he was like, so I got to go to the radio tomorrow. And on their own, I think it was Ren Azizi, but Ingram joined in with him. He was like, well, I'm tired, but Ari said he wanted to go, see what it's like. Ingram's like, yeah, all right, you have fun with it. But like in a real casual way, and he goes, oh, cool. And I couldn't be like, no, I don't want to go with you. I couldn't say it, so I just had to go with him.
Barf.
Yeah, and he does some dumb stuff. He goes, you pretend you're my cousin. And then you're like, okay. And you're like, yeah, that'll be awesome and hilarious.
I read a newspaper.
But then you're just his cousin, and like, there's no other backstory.
We were sitting there, and he's like, dude, don't talk too much, but chime in if you want and do whatever. And they had a newspaper in the room, and I just like, cracked it open, started reading it like extra loud, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, what are you doing over there? I'm like, reading the paper, man. He said, don't talk. And I just read an article.
Talk about a weird person to be to figure out what's age appropriate.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean
he had that big hair up until 12, 13 years ago.
He's a great example of someone who like was able to set trends fashion wise because he was just doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
He was the comedian who. Basically decided to dress sort of like Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. Everyone was like, cool.
And he's also young, brash. It looked okay.
Yeah,
on him.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
But like, now he wears a suit.
Yeah, I guess so.
At least in pictures and stuff, but like weird. Being in show business can make you, I see it all the time.
Make you what?
I'll see like actors, older actors that maybe didn't get married and have kids, and they wear some weird ass outfits, dude.
No one tells them, no.
Well, they're
not put this on.
They're hanging out with people that aren't their age. And they're shopping at the same places.
Yeah.
And you see guys with a lot of jeans, with a lot of shit on the pockets. And they're like 50. And you're like, no, man.
Yeah.
That is not cool.
That's the same version as the girl, the 45-year-old girl showing her cleavage.
Yeah.
It's the same version.
I also notice it a lot with older dudes, maybe about 60, who get the new wife. The new wife doesn't want their new old-ass husband to look that old, so they take him shopping.
Yeah, let's get
and
these
they
pants.
Cover him in a bunch of youngish-looking clothes, and it looks real stupid.
Get your sharp white
some
pants.
60-year-old wearing True Religion jeans.
Dude, I can't tell you. If you hang out in Beverly
Boots.
Hang out in Beverly Hills, all you see is 65-year-old man crushing True Religion jeans.
It's sad.
But they still have to wear the same shoes because they have old man feet.
Yeah.
So they need orthopedics?
Yeah, they got like an Affliction t-shirt, True Religion jeans, and then orthopedic shoes.
Yeah.
And they're like, babe, I can't do the shoes.
They're spiking their hair. Again,
yeah, their hair's got
gray though.
It's a little bleached. They got bleached tips, and they're like, "I can't do the feet. I got bad feet, babe. I'm sorry. Here's another diamond." Yeah, you can't. You just look sad when you dress not appropriate for your age.
You can't fucking force it.
But that same thing is like with comics who try to be funny back behind the store and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know when they try to get their jokes in.
Yeah,
and you're like, it's not that you're not funny. You can just tell it's needy.
Yeah, it's just does it's
is that
not
what it is? Is
be funny in an organic way, but yeah, sometimes they try and like force a joke.
Yeah,
yeah,
You know, where you're trying to, like, the only thing worse than that is X.
I was,
deliver it. Like,
I was
like,
listening.
You're not on stage right now. You don't need to be.
Yeah, you can feel. It's like, I know you're running a bit. And if you're running a bit, say, like, hey, I'm working on this bit. Like, just be honest.
Painter used to hold a mic. He would mock
an air
hold
mic.
The mic.
Yeah.
When he was, and he didn't do it on purpose. He would
like,
naturally
listen
raise
to
his
this.
Arm up. He'd raise it up to his face.
So check this out. I say this.
Yeah. Tripoli runs bits a lot off stage.
Tripoli runs bits a lot.
Because if you noticed, like, he'll start with, have you noticed? Yeah. And I'll get him let a sentence or two in. I'll go, hey, are you going to open with this bit when you go on? Or are you going to, how's that going to go? How's, yeah. Have you
Tripoli's
written?
The worst of those.
Yeah. I never let him finish.
He runs bits
I
a little.
I never let him finish.
It's awful.
I'm just like, have you done this bit on stage before?
But it's like, so, like, you know, Neil will come up to me and be like, I'm working on a thing.
Yeah,
and
that's
then we'll
okay.
just and then we'll just stand there and work on it together.
Yeah.
Try to, I can tell you're being fake.
Yeah.
I did that storyteller show last night.
Uh-huh.
And they needed to change tape, so I had to, like, stop in the middle.
Right.
So it was a little weird, but I didn't expect it. But, like, hey, you got to buy us, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And then I was like, and, like, made an announcement. And then I was like, let me think if I have a short joke. And then I was like, all right. And I started doing it. And it felt so contrived.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because everyone else is just, and I was too.
Nothing feels more contrived than when you're hosting and they're like, hey, do 4 minutes. And you're like, oh, God,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's so fake. You're like, he was talking about this one thing. So it's just like, we saw you already.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
It's out of character at that point.
What are you, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
We saw your joke, sir.
So how is your style changing now?
It's not.
I remember I took a picture of some weird stonery
pants?
Shirt once.
Right.
And I remember I texted you a picture of some weird stonery shirt. I'm like, hey, this is your style, and it's only like $10 or whatever. And you're like, yeah, I'm trying to get rid of shirts like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of like graphic design shirts.
Okay.
I'm going more for like button down. Like, it's so hot in New York, though. Button downs with sleeves rolled up. And then like polo shirts, like with like a Bert and Ernie type polo shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Something that doesn't look so like.
Can I dissuade you from that?
Really?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's like the kind of thing a toddler wears.
Yeah, I just did two stories with that, so they'll have.
Just wear button-down shirts, all right, with the sleeves rolled up.
What about short-sleeve shirts?
Plain. If they're plain, and I am of the opinion they should have a pocket.
Plain button-down short sleeve?
It can't be casual with a button-down shirt, sleeve rolled up in 100-degree heat.
Yeah, you can.
Casual.
Yeah, you can.
Yes, that's absolutely casual.
Light.
So get a light one.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Jesus. That's some preppy shit.
Yeah, I mean, don't wear flannels.
You can wear shorts with a button down.
Like one color shirts, just like solid.
Yes. What are you selling?
Like Guidos from New Jersey would wear that.
No.
Yeah, like middle-aged Guidos.
Okay, like if you wear it tight and it's shiny.
You're not like a 300-pound all-muscle super
shiny,
tan
just
guy.
Just boring dudes.
Dude, okay, you know how cool kind of
but you have interest. Here's why this works. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
This is why that doesn't look boring. You wear interesting glasses, so there's an interesting. That says you have style. Then you have the wacky socks. Done. Sometimes you see a dad who's in a plain t-shirt. He has light denim mitt, like that isn't cool. He has boring white New Balance, and he's got rimless glasses. Then you're a dad. But as you get older, you don't need a lot of shit to make yourself look stylish. Because at your age, there's something a little cool about being older. It means you know how to do stuff. You're more accomplished.
So button-down shirts.
Yes.
I'll tell you.
Simple.
I mean, the right button-down and like a slim-fitting like pair of jeans and like those Clark's
slim
desert
button-down,
shoes.
Slim button-downs, slim tops, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I like. All my old shirts were so bulky.
I'm telling you,
J.Crew is
cooler.
A decent place for you to buy your clothing.
Yeah.
J.Crew.
Go to before you leave L.A., J.Crew men's store at the Grove.
I'll go to one in New York. But,
you're an adult. Look like one.
Yeah, part of me too, though, is still stuck in that place when I was poor.
Yeah,
which
but
I
you're not poor
most.
Anymore.
Yeah, no. So
a lot of your clothing,
of like, oh, I can pay for $2 ballet.
Yeah, a lot of your clothing decisions are like, dude, this was at Target. It was only $10, and it's pretty cool. Well, who cares?
Yeah, get something actually.
It's like, no, go spend $100 on something.
No way. That's
that
way too much.
Is actually cool.
Anything except a coat.
There are expensive things I've bought that I've had for 6 years. I still wear them. 7 years.
It depends on what it is. Don't buy 100.
No more H&M? What about H&M?
No.
They have cool things. I went there with Ashley. She admitted she was wrong.
Okay.
She saw something.
They have,
like, all right, they have some cool
one
things.
One or
here.
Two cool
but
things.
But they fall apart.
Yeah.
They do fall apart.
Don't ever buy shoes or jeans or jackets from there unless you want to pay the $70 or $80 and then have that shit fall apart in a year.
Yeah.
Especially if you wear it a lot.
They're not $70, they're $39.99.
Still, you're not going to wear it for long.
Yeah.
They're not well constructed.
One season. That's all you get it for.
Sure.
But why don't you just buy like a really...
Because it might be out next season. That's why.
No, but you don't buy like that.
Look, you need, as an adult male, you need to look at... You need to be dressing in a way that's classic.
Okay, how about this? What do you think about this?
Don't buy for trends.
What do you think about this? Looking at a mannequin and go, yeah, I like that whole way the whole thing looks. Like, I'm going to match
that. Yeah, it depends if it's the right store.
If it's the right, right.
Yeah.
So J. Crew.
Simple. Simple clothing. Simple colors. Classic looks.
If you get like a good pair of boots or something like that.
Things that like,
boots.
Okay.
What do you mean boots? Those three-quarter boots?
Like yeah. The, like,
no, but
like,
here, I need comfortable walking shoes.
They are comfortable, stupid.
Yeah, the break-in process is
That was not, did not help me learn.
Listen, idiot. The break-in process is a little rough for boots. Yeah. But once they break in, they're as comfortable as a pair of Nikes.
Yeah.
Boots.
And they're Red Wings. Durable as fuck. They last forever. I've had a pair of Red Wings for close to 10 years.
They only look better as they age.
Yeah. And if you're going to wear sneakers, they need to be sneakers that have been worn for at least 40 years.
What do you mean?
Vans, Converse All-Stars, Jack Purcell.
What about Converse All-Stars?
K-Swiss.
Wiz Khalifa editions.
That's fine. Those are all black. Those are cool.
How do you feel about the...
fun little accent color.
Neon green accent on the tip matching the same green.
Very fun. Yeah. Very fun. You're doing it with a simple brown pant.
Awesome.
If I could just put a black or white plain tee on you, you'd be good.
Yeah, now here's the deal. I want to ask about this too. I recently just put on a white t-shirt.
Yeah.
Just a white t-shirt. I was like, this isn't bad. Now, for the longest time, even with a graphic design, I was like, no white t-shirt unless it's got rings. Otherwise, you've got to have a colored t-shirt. But I'm starting to think white t-shirt, even with a graphic
if
design,
you're
is
in,
okay.
If you're in decent shape, and you, again, you're doing a bit of a 19...
So then no for you.
A little bit of a 1950s shirt. A white t-shirt, chicks... Like it.
But which is white shirt.
Yeah.
White shirt that says not Dr. Pepper.
Okay, I have tattoos. I recently wore I was wearing dark, very raw denim jeans. I had on boots, black boots. I had a white t-shirt on. You could see all my tattoos. And I went over to a girl's
house. See all tattoos where? Underneath
on my arms.
On your shirt,
The sleeves were short enough to where my tattoos were, you could see them, like, you could see them now.
Okay.
And she was like, you look hot.
Ooh.
That's like man shit, dude.
Yeah.
She told me you look like you were working on a motorcycle. She didn't say hot. She said sexy.
Oh.
Which I can count the times I've heard that on one hand.
Wow.
Yeah. She was like, you look sexy. And I was like, dang.
Remember the time you got a girl who's way out of your league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all the times you do it.
Never works.
Yeah, you got to be evener.
No, you got, yeah, I just.
You can't have all the power. It's not, nah.
No, I just tried to get a girl out of my league. Didn't work.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Crushed my heart into a million pieces.
You can just take him for a ride.
Yep.
Set him free.
Yep.
Like a wild bull.
Short-term. They will end up with their own.
Yeah.
There was a great, they will always end up with their own.
With their own?
Yes.
Oh, you mean their level. Right. Okay, yeah.
No one wants to slum it.
I read this, I think, Vice thing about how to
date a rich girl.
Yeah, date a rich
girl. Oh, yeah. One of the most invaluable things I've ever read.
Don't comment on how much their rent costs.
Yeah.
They don't know. They think it's weird that you care.
And the best thing at the end, no matter how much she loves you, no matter how much you love her, she will end up with her own kind, my friend.
Yeah.
And it is, and it's, I've thought about it a lot because I dated a rich girl. And it's not because you're less than them. You make them feel bad on accident because
ordinary people.
Yeah. They don't want to. Why would they want to date someone who makes them feel guilty?
It's like when a tall girl dates a short guy and the short guy is always bringing it up or something like that.
Yeah,
I've talked to girls where they're like, I don't mind the short thing, but he brought it up a lot.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like I was doing something wrong.
No one wants to feel like they don't work hard. So dating someone below your income level makes them just inadvertently feel bad. Why would they want to?
You got
to
treat it the same way as if you're just talking to a hot girl. Treat her like
she's
not hot.
Same thing with celebrity. Can't be like, oh, I'm a big fan of your work.
Just
like, no, treat them like they're another person.
Dude, I sent my friend.
It's so hard though when you really want to be friends with them.
Yeah.
Like, please, Sean Penn. Yeah. What do I have to do?
Yeah.
Can we hang out? The right answer is there's no course of action here for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. To make us friends.
Exactly.
I don't want you to wash my car.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone.
But yeah, just buy things that are classic, that have been around a long time.
That's what Hitchcock always did, where he put his stuff, the styles he put his men in, are just timeless. Just the basic tuxedo. Uh-huh. Instead of going with like fashionable things that 20 years later look like, like dated.
I had a teacher in art school that said there's no better way to make your work look dated than trying to look futuristic.
Hmm. Because their version of future will be...
You'll be wrong.
The Air and Space Museum is hilarious now.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk inside a space shuttle. Yeah, it's a spaceship.
57. Yeah. No, you need to be buying
with
things
real buttons
that are old that men wore in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah, think but like that James version, Dean
and,
look.
And so J. Crew is a newer version of that.
Basically,
what else? What else? Banana Republic. I don't even know what those
sort
are.
Sorta.
Banana Republic's kind of a little more European version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gap, to a certain degree, if you're looking for a less expensive...
Urban Outfitters?
Urban Outfitters, a bit. But again, Urban Outfitters, not terribly well-constructed.
No.
A little too expensive for the... It's basically H&M, a little better and a little pricier. And Urban Outfitters deals in trends.
Right.
So you're going to get stuff that's a little... that's trendy, and it's not going to be cool as long.
So trendy is, like, more fashionable right now, but it has no...
Right now, what's very trendy
people
is, like...
people are like, ooh, cool.
Aztec patterns.
Ew.
Southwest stuff is hugely popular right now.
Barf.
So you see a lot of that print stuff. Now, that stuff is cool as shit right now. It won't be in a year.
No.
There'll be something else.
Barf.
And just like when you buy for the... when certain decades come back into style, like 70s or 80s type shit, you're like, are you going to buy a bunch of 80s clothes? Because in 5 years, it's not going to be in it anymore. It'll be the 90s or whatever it is. And it won't... It won't last, so you can't buy, and you especially shouldn't pay a lot of money for trends.
Yeah.
If you're going to spend money, you got to spend it on, like, a good leather jacket will last, it'll never go out of style. A good pair of boots.
No, but some leather jackets get out of style.
If they're, like, really my trendy, weird ones.
From high school was really nice, but it became too bulky. Like, bulky was in then, big, and now it's not,
but
so then you can't
certain,
wear it.
There's certain
Jeremiah
types
Watkins
of...
Came, though.
There's certain, I mean, the look of a leather jacket, there's certain types that will never go out of style.
Right.
Like a motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
Never. Or like a slim fitting, simple one will never go out of style. But if it's like all of a sudden Michael Jackson's popular and they're reissuing jackets that look like that, guess what? That shit will be cool for 6 months and then you have a jacket you're never going to wear again that costs you $500.
Yeah, Chuck Taylors are always fine.
Chuck Taylors have quite literally never, they've been in style the entire time I've been alive.
And Vans.
Never gone out. Never even had a pair. It was like, nah. They're always like, oh, okay.
Chucks and Vans, always.
Yeah.
I saw those brown on brown Chucks that looked amazing.
No.
No, they look so good.
No.
Why?
Because you're too old.
For brown on brown, brown goes with like black pants.
No, okay, first of all, no.
No, brown boots and black jeans you can do.
Yeah.
Brown, blue, right, black.
No. Black and brown are kind of,
they're
clash.
Very tough.
It's hard.
You better have a brown belt. That's, you're not, I mean, brown leather.
Oh.
First of all, get a leather belt.
Yeah.
Leather belt.
Yeah, you're not a Boy Scout.
Yeah, get a brown and a black leather belt.
Yeah.
Leather, wow. What about one of those medallions in the middle?
Belt buckle?
Buckle?
You can fuck with a belt buckle.
Those were in style for a while. I had like 4 or 5 of those.
There's a right one. There's a cool one.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a horseshoe.
That seems like that ain't going to be around in 10 years.
Well, Ari, you're very Jewish looking, so you're not a cowboy.
How dare you? Some of the most notable cowboys.
Also, this is important to think about. Think about what guy you are, what ethnicity and cult and like type of person you are, and then look for the icons of that type.
Okay, you know what I really am, though?
What?
Part degen.
What?
I'm part degenerate.
Yes, you are.
So, like, I should give it up for that side of me, too.
Okay.
I'm not Jewy.
No, you're not. But weren't a lot of the Ramones Jewish?
I don't know. Kiss was.
Okay. Yeah, but that's heavy metal.
Roth.
I think the Ramones were, right?
Yeah.
One or two of them.
Yeah.
Out of the three.
Shlomo Ramone.
Was Lenny Bruce Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a guy. That's a cool guy.
Yeah, Richard Pryor.
Woody Allen, while bookish, also a degenerate.
Yeah, so how did he dress? But he just wore suits back then, right?
Yeah, but you do kind of dirty nerdy. That's good.
Dirty nerdy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying.
You do a clean Oxford shirt. You do beat-up jeans. That never goes out of style.
Beat-up jeans. I like clean jeans.
Okay.
Not like shiny jeans, but, you know. Yeah, that goes.
Yeah.
Get a pair of raw denim. They look good, and then they...
What's raw denim?
This, where you don't wash them. They're stiff as hell, and you have to break them in by wearing them all the time.
Oh.
And they slowly kind of start to fade.
Like not anymore.
They're not hard anymore.
Well, they don't. 501s, the cheap ones, aren't the most well made. They're good for a cheap pair of jeans, but if you want a good raw denim, it's going to cost you.
Maybe when I'm going to Australia in a few weeks.
Okay.
October 19th. Should I get some Aboriginal stuff?
Nope.
Some Outback?
No. Nope.
Should I try to bring David?
You know what I would do? I'd buy some really fun socks while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you'll find some really. Those are. When you go on vacation.
Alligator socks.
Vacation clothing buying, huge mistake.
Why?
Because people want to have like a commemorative thing. So you buy like a shirt or a jacket.
You're caught up in that moment.
You're caught up in the moment.
You know, tour shirts. Where you don't get somebody like they want to like, hey, we commemorate this. It says you're fucking saying in colors. No, say have something you can wear 2 years from now. And somebody goes, who is that?
Yeah, I bought an AC/DC t-shirt when I saw him 4 years ago. It wasn't that cool, but I was like, this rule, that concert was awesome. I never wore it. But I'll wear an AC/DC t-shirt that's old. Things that have stood the test of time. That is the key.
Yeah.
So it can't be something that's been cool for 2 years, even 5 years. You're talking 20 or over.
Yeah, don't worry about that, like, it's too plain looking thing.
No.
Because if you wear it right, and if you...
Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, these always are the guys. Cool.
Yeah, no always one ever thinks cool. Fucking Johnny Cash didn't look cool. And
how cool is that?
All he wore was black on black.
Paul Newman Newman in Color of Money, cool as shit. Paul Newman in The Hustler, really cool. Steve McQueen, just simple clothes.
Well, you got to go, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about your podcast for a second, real quick.
Okay.
Make a phone call. You guys have a new podcast. Has it started yet?
It's about to be released.
By the time when is this going to air?
Well, I'll hold it out until that week.
Okay.
When is it going to be released?
Probably in a week.
Yeah, I'd say in a week.
What does that mean?
Well, Kevin just finished the artwork for it.
Kevin
did all this awesome drawing, and I just was
Kevin,
like,
by
yes.
the way, does all my art for my storyteller show, all those cool paintings. And my album cover.
But they have everything. We're just waiting for them to put it up.
Yeah, we got a bunch of episodes recorded. You did it. Bobby Lee,
Steve Renazzisi, Steve Howie, Max Greenfield.
Yeah, separate mine. I'll post this when you guys release your thing.
So it'll be synergy.
And then don't post mine until like 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
So then, or a week after, something like that.
Okay.
And then people, are you just going to release them all at once?
No. We're going to do like two or three right away so you have plenty and then space it out. We're going to try to release one or two a week.
Yeah.
All right.
Because we're doing two a week.
And what's your hook or just the two of you?
Our hook is that we're great.
Yeah, here's what the real hook should be. It's our comedic presence.
Yeah.
Talking
that's why it's
whatever.
Called Occasionally Awesome.
Occasionally Awesome. We should get a title.
That's
for
just kind of how we are.
But Nick came up with this great thing where we're going to go on field trips and then talk about what we did.
I just feel like Magic Mountain?
Renaissance Fair. Sorry. We went to a concert the other day.
Yeah.
What concert did you go to?
This kid, Jake Bug.
Oh, yeah. JB.
From England.
Does that sound legit the way I said it?
No, not at all.
We saw a real cross-section of inappropriately dressed old dudes.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty great. We're going to record it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's fun.
But yeah, so, I mean, we're going to have, like, some of the episodes will have guests, and some will literally just be us. Just
talking about what we did.
So, let's...
One episode, I got drunk.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yep.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking, because I think I got Nick converted already.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a bunch of people who have not done mushrooms.
No.
We're all going to do mushrooms.
No, I'm too old for that shit.
You're already in.
No, I told you.
No, you're already in.
Ari, stop.
On you too.
Stop.
You're not too old for it.
Yes, right. I don't need my mind expanded. I need it narrowed so I can focus.
All right.
Focus on what? On your fucking Dawson's Creek guest star?
What?
I don't know what shows are out now. Whatever shows are out.
You can see
six
me.
And a half young
your
ladies.
References are as outdated as your clothing.
Look for me on an upcoming episode of the wonderful show, Masters of Sex on Showtime.
Starring Kevin Christie and no one
aren't
else.
Aren't you a regular on something now?
I'm reoccurring on a show called Masters of Sex on Showtime.
One. Okay.
That just premiered Sunday.
Useless. What do you want all the time?
I'm not on any. I'll be at the Punchline next. No. When is this going to air? In a while.
Probably afterwards. Yeah, I'll be there.
I was at the Punchline 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was at the Punchline with Jonah Ray on October
10th. Last time we were in San Francisco together.
Yeah, that was fun. I was supposed to be in San Antonio.
Well, let's not give out the gigs that are not going to happen.
At the end of October with Bobby Lee, but he's not a reliable friend. Not a reliable friend. He's a disappointment.
When he starts not texting you back, you're like, I don't know if I'm going anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I brought that up. Back, so I don't know. He said he was doing it, but I have no idea anymore.
Bobby has feature Alzheimer's.
He just invites a lot of people.
Yeah.
He can't do anything else, so it's not, you can't even blame it on weed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's video games.
Just a bad personality.
That's his
Yeah. All right, guys. So you don't know if you're doing that.
Oh, wait,
I don't think I am.
Do you feel like you learned anything about fashion?
Yeah, a little bit.
Good.
Took some notes.
Good.
Looking. I mean, I've got to try some on. I know I'm going to make some wrong calls, too. Walk around for a few days and go, I just don't feel this.
A lot of people pick a style icon, famous person, then you mimic them. Mm-hmm. For a lot of women, it's Audrey Hepburn. For a lot of men, it's Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, people
I'm going
like
with
that.
Audrey Hepburn.
That's good for you.
Do that.
A lot of Chanel.
Yeah.
Start
wearing makeup. You need it.
I'm going to Chanel number 7.
Very classic. Very classic.
All right, guys.
You're fucking stupid.
Let's get your... I got to go, too. But what's your Twitter address? Kevin G. Christie?
At Kevin G. Christie.
At Nick Youssef. NickYousef.
Sleeper cell 187.
Do you have a show that you really love? One that you feel so groovy in? You don't even mind if it starts to fade. That only makes it
nicer still. I love my shirt, I love my shirt. My shirt is so comfortably lovely. I love my shirt, I love my shirt. My shirt is so comfortably lovely.
That's the episode, everybody. That is it. Thank you for listening. I am doing the outro from Melbourne, Australia. I don't know what province it is or what region or whatever they call it. But, yeah. Thanks, Kevin and Nick, for doing it. Hey, so here's what just happened to me. Oh, fuck, I'm tired. All right, so I landed in Melbourne. Melbourne. I had a fun lunch with Shane Moss in Sydney, Australia, and then got on a flight at 3:30 p.m. Landed, and I was gonna go see Lord. She was playing in Sydney, but I missed her twice. The promoter who took me out to Sydney was doing that show too, so two nights in a row she was playing, but it ended too early. They couldn't switch me around in the lineup, and I just couldn't go. Turns out, she's playing the day I landed in Melbourne. The day I land and the next day. But I'm performing the next day, so I can't do it. Be at the Comics Lounge. Tuesday through Sunday. But, so I was like, screw it. I'm just going to go down there. It's sold out. I'm going to scalp tickets. And then I was, you know, telling myself not to go. Doing that thing I do where I go, yeah, let me just check my... I have a Wi-Fi here. So let me check my Twitter one more time. Let me check my Facebook one more time. And eventually, well, I took an edible. I found one of the gummy bears that was left, the Green Hornets. Took that, started kicking in. I was like, hey, maybe I'll just get something to eat. No, fuck it. I pushed myself. Get out of the place. Go. It's your one night off in Melbourne. Just go out. So this place where Lord was playing was 53 minutes away walking. So fuck it. I walked it. I figured I would stop to get something to eat on the way. Didn't pass anything. So I didn't. But it sold out. No tickets. And I waited and I waited and waited for someone to not to have an extra ticket that they could sell to me. Or to bribe a door guy. But they were not to be bribed, the security at this hotel venue in Richmond, outside Melbourne. But yeah, they couldn't do it. Nobody came with an extra ticket. It seats 800. Not one fucking person came with an extra ticket. So... she started playing at 9:30. She was playing 9:30 to 10:25. So I couldn't go. At about 9:40, I was like, all right, I guess I'm out. The security lady was like, listen, I tried. I saw there's no extra tickets, but I was going to see if there's anything I could do. Turns out I can't do anything. She tried her best. No big deal. So I wandered off. Hey, at least it got me out of the hotel. Started heading back. Figure I'd take a different route this time. Went over this bridge over some river. This fucking giant bird started flying at me. This giant black bird. I mean, it got bigger and bigger. I was walking over this bridge. I was kind of like, I got scared. I was trying to like block myself. I walked under a street sign and I almost like was using it as protection because it's such a fucking giant bird. And I don't know where I am. I'm in another country. So as this bird gets closer and closer, it's the size of an eagle, you guys. It's one of those massive birds. Turns out, not a bird. Giant bat. Giant fucking eagle-sized bat just flying overhead. Like 25 feet over my head. 12 meters. I don't know the conversion. Whatever. Walked along, got over the bridge. Right when I get over the bridge, when I get up to the bridge, excuse me, start hearing music playing. And this is like a 40-minute walk away maybe 30-minute walk away from where Lord was playing. And you know the sound of music. Well, you can hear the difference between what sounds like live music and what sounds like them just playing music on a loudspeaker. And this sounded like live music. So my edible was kicked in nicely, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me explore. I don't know. I found a pathway down there, and I went to the door, and I was like, hey, what's going on? And she was like, it's got about 30 minutes left of this band. but there's no more tickets available. Ticket box office is closed, so you can't come in. She goes, but they're playing again tomorrow. If you want to come at 9:30, and I was like, same thing that happened with Lord. That's what they told me. Yes, the Lord place too. They're like, come at 7, they're going to release more tickets. Can't. I'll be doing my own show at 9:30. So she said, hey, they're going to be playing tomorrow again. You can come down. And I was like, can't. I'm performing. She goes, where are you performing? The Comics Lounge. She goes, oh, well, you know what? Fuck it. Just go in. She's like, here's a stamp. It's not sold out anyway. Just go ahead and go in. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'll buy a beer. And I went in. Polyphonic Spree is playing. So it's another 35 minutes of Polyphonic Spree. They ended up playing till 11:30 or later. Played for an hour and 15 minutes after I got in. It was fucking sweet. Free concert. Polyphonic Spree. Just random. Just randomly came across them. They weren't even listed in Soundkick. Songkick? That's the app. Songkick. They weren't even listed in there as things to do in Melbourne. I fucking looked it up. It was only Lord and a bunch of people I had never heard of. And Beyonce tomorrow. But I'm not going to that. Fucking Polyphonic Spree. So the one song, obviously, that I knew, Reach for the Stars. I don't know if that's the name of the song, but it's one of those. And reach for... they didn't play that. I waited the whole time. They played this cool NXS cover. They played a Tripping Daisy song. The one song you've heard of. They played something from Rocky Horror Picture Show. But they didn't play the goddamn Reach for the Stars. Fuck, I'm bad at singing. Still, really fucking cool, everybody. So that's the episode. I am trying to wear better clothes. I always try to impress those guys. They're my male muses. Musi. Don't forget to follow Nick Youssef on Twitter at Nick Youssef, the terrorist way to spell it, and Kevin G. Christy, Christy. Good episode, you guys. I'm going to try to take some of those tips. it's funny to talk about men's fashion, but it's like a real thing, though. You can't look bad. All right, you guys. So, that's it. My storyteller show will be, I don't know, one of those days, either the 12th or the 8th. Either at the studio at Webster Hall or at Santo's Party Room, but it'll be somewhere on one of those days. And Big J Okerson should be doing it, and then I don't know who else. But he's amazing. So right there is worth the $5 or $10 that we end up charging. So that's the show, everybody. Don't forget to tell your friends about this podcast. Spread the word a little bit so I get more listeners. And that way, I don't know, nothing. That way, nothing. That way, I get more listeners. That's the end. All right, I'm going to eat this Mr. Pie. Happy Pie? Whatever it's called. I'll talk to you later, everybody. Let's have some Polyphonic Spree on the way out. Or maybe Tripping Daisy. No, Polyphonic Spree. So, because I didn't hear the song. Let's play the song now. That'll work. I got some good submissions for my 2014 tour shirt. Nothing quite there yet, but a couple that were pretty cool. So thanks, guys, for making them. All right, you guys, I'll talk to you later. Episode 137, Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank. Oh, yeah, episode 137. What am I calling this again? Care What You Wear with Kevin Christie and Nick Youssef, the hosts of their own podcast. Look them up on iTunes right now. It's called Occasionally Awesome. I paused to look it up because I forgot. Okay, from Melbourne, everybody. I'll talk to you next time. I think I'll still be in Melbourne when I do the wrap-up of next week. Okay, goodbye. All the day.